The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I'll be joined by former RNC chair Rhonda McDaniel in her first interview since stepping down as party chair. In full disclosure to our viewers, this interview was scheduled weeks before it was announced that McDaniel would become a paid NBC News contributor. This will be a news interview, and I was not involved in her hiring. Can you say, as you sit here today, did Joe Biden win the election fair and square?
He won. He's the legitimate
did he win
president.
Fair and square?
Fair and square, he won. It's certified. It's done. But I
Rhonda,
do think,
why
Kristen,
is it you
let me just say
now
something.
To say that, why
because
has it taken you until now to be able to say
I'm
going to
push back a little.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation, because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. Well, I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself, or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? When NBC made the decision to give her NBC News' credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News?
I know you won't be surprised to know that we've been inundated with calls this weekend, as have most people connected with this network, about NBC's decision to hire her. We weren't asked our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, including, but not limited to, as lawyers might say, Ms. McDaniel's role in Donald Trump's fake elector scheme, and her pressuring election officials to not certify election results.
To be clear, we believe NBC News should seek out conservative Republican voices to provide balance in their election coverage. But it should be conservative Republicans, not a person who used her position of power to be an anti-democracy election denier. And we hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor.
Goes without saying. If Rhonda McDaniel is not going to be invited on to Morning Joe, Morning Meltdown, as we call it, you know I'm not going to be invited. This says so much about these people, this regime, their precious narrative. How could you dare question? They're already questioning the results of this year's election. I'll bring you that article from Rolling Stone here in just a second. The other thing I like, just as an aside, they're inundated with calls over at Morning Meltdown. I don't think so. Just don't think that that's happening. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. It's Monday. We're ready to roll. We have energy. We had a restful weekend. Actually, it was a busy weekend, but still so many clips to get to. You have joined the right program. You can get to the live stream of this show at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. Or you can email the show. If you want to inundate our email inbox, just go to TD at the Trumpet. What is our email address? TD@TheTrumpet.com. There you go. I got a little flustered, but we're ready. We're ready to roll. Lots to get to on the show. A lot of news, actually, that was breaking on Friday afternoon after the Trumpet Daily concluded its week of broadcasting last week, including the Princess of Wales being treated for cancer now. She's, I guess she went in for stomach surgery on January 16th, of all dates. We have a booklet on that very date, by the way. But it says here, the future queen is currently undergoing a course of chemotherapy that started in February, according to Kensington Palace. She was admitted to hospital on January 16 for major abdominal surgery. And it says further on, this is from The Mirror over in the UK, the shocking news comes amid the king's own battle with the disease. after Buckingham Palace, that's King Charles, after Buckingham Palace announced on February 5th that the monarch had been diagnosed with a form of cancer. So this has been, I think it's quoting from Kate Middleton's statement Friday evening, an incredibly tough couple of months for our entire family. I would just refer you to chapter 4 of the New Throne of David book. Just right in at the start, there's the subhead Decline of the Royal Family. And you can read that, as I say, in the New Throne of David. You can get to all of our literature at our website, thetrumpet.com. Or if you call our 800 number, you can request a free hard copy of any of these books, 1-866-930-3024. Over the weekend, you also had this massacre in Moscow. I think 140 people now dead after this attack at that concert hall. This is from the morning brief today in Russia. It's hard to know exactly what's going on. The Russians are blaming Ukraine. And even produced a deep fake video of a top Ukrainian security official almost claiming responsibility for the attack. Russia President Vladimir Putin may have used a fake terrorist attack as part of his rise to power. So it's hard to rule out him doing the same thing again. But the most likely culprit is ISIS-K, the Afghan branch of the Islamic State. So you have lots of opinions and theories on social media, but that's from Richard Palmer earlier today in the morning brief that we send out. We've got daily email blasts, by the way, in the morning, in the evening. We've also got an email blast that tells you what's on this program if you watch it after the fact. So make sure you go to our website, thetrumpet.com, and subscribe to all of these free services. This is Senator Marco Rubio commenting on the attack in Moscow and just saying, you know, what about the terrorists that America is letting in at the moment? Clip 7.
It's the fact that it took 4 people for this carnage. We've had 9 million people come across our border. 9 million have come across our border illegally, and it only took 4. And no one can tell me that of the 9 million people that have entered this country illegally, there isn't a really high probability that at least 4 are members of an organization like this, especially when the FBI director himself confirmed to me in an open hearing of the Intelligence Committee that they are very concerned about a trafficking network that is linked to terrorists like ISIS, who basically traffic in people for money. It's a business for them. But you're telling me if you own a trafficking business, you're not going to use it to try to get terrorists in the United States? ISIS would love to do what they did in Moscow here in the United States in multiple places if they could. And the sad part about it is ISIS was wiped out. At the end of the Trump presidency, ISIS basically was not a functional entity. A bunch, handful of guys in caves, you know, trying to figure out who was going to get the camel for the day, you know. And now these guys are basically back and operating inside of Russia, inside of Iran.
And under the fake president's watch, Joe Biden, Joe Bama, of course, Barack Obama, the real president, carrying out his third term. Look at what America is inviting into the country. 4 gunmen take out 140. When are we going to have the next massacre, the next terrorist attack on American soil? That's what Rubio's getting at there. America is under attack in more ways than one. We have that book. We plug it all the time. Make sure you request your free copy if you don't yet have it. We've also talked about how there's just a lack of courage on the part of Republicans and conservatives to just stand against this attack, to fight against it. They just won't, so many of them just won't do it. They will not fight. Friday, Mike Gallagher, he's a representative from Wisconsin. He announces that he's going to step down. He's in the Republicans hold just a slim majority. After he leaves, it's down to 1 seat. And he's got to leave at the right time. You know, he comes out with his statement saying that, you know, I've talked to my family, et cetera, et cetera. And then you dig a little bit into the Wisconsin statutes and see that if he were to step down and leave now, they'd have a special election and we'd get another Republican from a pretty red district. No problem. But he's stepping down just late enough He's going to leave just late enough, April 19th, I think it is, to where they can't have a special election. They've just got to wait until the November elections to fill that seat. These people, they're scheming. They're scheming. The Never Trump Republicans are scheming together with Pelosi and Jeffries, the radical Democrats, Schumer, to give control back to Democrats. I mean, it makes you think of 2 Kings 14. There's no helper. There's no helper. Listen to Nancy Pelosi and the woman that used to be the spokesperson for the fake president as they talk about, hey, maybe Democrats could get control of the House even before the November election. This is clip 9.
I mean, is it possible that, because after Mike Gallagher leaves, there's going to be a margin of one. Is it possible, could you see a scenario where Democrats take the majority even before Election Day because it's so dysfunctional?
Well, I told that to Hakeem Jeffries when he became our leader, and we're very, very proud of him and the whole mm-hmm. leadership team. Any one of them could be Speaker. Hakeem will be next and soon.
And soon, says Pelosi. Yeah, they're plotting. They're scheming. They're trying to take control. And some have said, of course, all the investigations into the Biden crime family, that would end immediately. But there's others opining on the regime media networks that the Democrats, if they get control, they may not even certify the election should Donald Trump win. I mean, they're plotting and scheming to overturn the results of the election, even as we speak. It's pretty amazing. My father wrote, this is in America Has No Helper. It's from April of 2021 at the Trumpet magazine. Again, you can subscribe to the Trumpet, get a free one-year subscription at no cost, no obligation. Just call our operators and request a free subscription. It says Satan has the power to conduct great evil and not only hide it, but then accuse others of committing it. That's what they're already accusing Donald Trump of trying to steal the election this year, even as they plot and scheme to steal the election again. They did it in 2020. I mean, this is what rubs them so wrong with respect to Ronna McDaniel being hired by NBC execs. She's an election denier. And then you see in that cold open how she's come around. Yeah, he's legitimate. The results are in. Joe Biden is the legitimate president. She's having to, you know, toe the line. But still, Scarborough and company, I mean, they remember. They remember if she sided with Trump, even just ever so slightly, she can't be hired by NBC. No, absolutely not. No dissenting opinions on that network. We're the propaganda regime. We're the regime that spews the propaganda for the fake president. And yet still, it just seems like the Trump train. Forget about Fannie, what she said about her train. The Trump train is barreling ahead. It says here, you can prove the real purpose of the Mueller investigation, but this is from my father's article 3 years ago. Satan knows that if he makes it complicated enough to require deep study in order to understand it, most people won't do that, and he can deceive them. It says, the powerful way this man works to destroy the nation he leads is one of those depths, talking about the depths of Satan as it's referred to in Revelation 2:24. My father says, people have no chance without God. I talked over the weekend on this very subject. How that we need God, we need Jesus Christ as the head of this church to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, to protect us. God, it says in 2 Kings 14, has to intervene and save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. This is an article that was posted just before we came to air here. It's from Barron's. It says, Donald Trump got a double serving of good news on Monday. An appeals court in New York agreed to reduce the $464 million judgment against him in a civil fraud case to $175 million. So, I mean, this brings us closer to my favorite new hot take. That is that Trump is poor. And added to that, you'll hear it in a second, Trump, he's been a failure. Yeah, he doesn't know how to run a real estate empire, evidently. He has no money, and he doesn't understand real estate. There you go. Fresh, new, hot take. By the way, I forget the topic that we covered, but I can probably pull it up here. Over the weekend, Rumble promoted, I think it was last Tuesday's show, the Biden-Obama power struggle isn't real. Obama is in charge. That's from last Tuesday. And because of the Rumble promotion on Sunday, it now has 158,000 views. I think we had 250 new followers added to the Rumble channel. We're up to, 5,090 at the moment. So some really good numbers. We're really happy when Rumble tries to help promote our show, and all the other shows around the one that was promoted also have higher views than normal, just because of that. So, as I say, some good news coming from all over for this program. Back to this article, though. It says, it reduced the fee the bond number from $464 million to $175. It says last week's approval of the merger between SPAC, Digital World Acquisition Corp., and Trump Media and Technology means it is only a matter of time before the DWAC shares trading on the NASDAQ will convert to DJT stock. The new ticker symbol representing the former president's initials, that's DJT, is the same one used for Trump's casino and resorts firm. I mean, he's also Truth Social has been approved as well to be traded as stocks. So there's a lot of pretty good things happening to Donald Trump. Listen to Bill Maher over the weekend with his panel talking about how Trump he's just incredibly lucky. Clip 4 or 10, sorry.
Guy is the luckiest guy in the world, but Trump Social, Trump Social, it's Trump Social, but Truth Social just got permission to go public.
Right.
And so he's his stake, because it's a meme stock, a little like GameStop, is worth $3.5 billion right now, and it could go higher if people bid it up.
He definitely made a deal with the devil at
something.
Because he always lucks out on everything.
Yeah,
he has best enemies. Look at Michael Avenatti. Look at Fani Willis now in Georgia. The
right.
Best enemies.
Right.
Just, it helps him so much.
And Merrick Garland. All up. He's dithered now we're probably not even going to see any of the trials. He just always lucks his way into everything.
Said the quiet part out loud there, didn't he? We're not going to see any of the trials. What does he mean by that? Before the presidential election. Yeah, that's the whole point of this lawfare. Merrick Garland should have gotten it going quicker, sooner, so that we can take him out before the election. Well, be assured, they're scheming and plotting, even as we speak, as I said, to try to take him out anyway. The ones who talked about how dare you consider delaying certification for 10 days. These are the same people that are saying, you know what, if he wins this time, let's not certify it. Let's carry out an insurrection. Listen to our favorite historian, quote unquote, Michael Beschloss from MSNBC, clip 2.
Presidents in history, we elect them because they've been a success in their profession. I was mentioning Washington, Lincoln. General Grant won the war, the Civil War, or did a lot to help us win the Civil War. Dwight Eisenhower led forces on D-Day. If Dwight Eisenhower had failed on D-Day and those forces had been turned back and they'd go back into the sea, do you think that he would have had a prayer of being elected in 1952? So Donald Trump this week is going to be shown as essentially a fraud. This was never a successful businessman, someone who does not obey the law, someone who will not support the Constitution, as I was saying earlier. And more important than that, look at his record as president.
He's a fraud. He's a failure. He says this on the same day that an appeals court reduces the bond to $175 million. It shouldn't even be that. It's ridiculous on its face. But $500 million? Well, that's already been slashed by, what, 50, 60%? And these people, look at all of them. How many talking heads are there on that round table, that panel? All of them say now that Trump's being exposed as a fraud. He's a failure. He inherited his empire. That's all he did. He got daddy's money, and he didn't make any wise investments. He didn't really build any properties all over the earth. Skip ahead. This is from the Morning Meltdown, clip 4.
And there was a New Hampshire woman with tattoos who was a blue-collar worker. And Mark Halperin asked, why do you support Donald Trump? And her answer was, because he's one of us. He's not. He's never been, never will be. If he was one of us, he would be in jail right now, like all the people from January the 6th. But he's been protected. So I wonder, again, is the vote for Donald Trump less about Donald Trump and more about the rejection of elites over the past 50, 60 years?
Joe, you nailed it. That's all it is about at the end of the day. And it's what Donald Trump has done so masterfully, he's made the grievances that he has, the grievances that people have against him. It's not about him, he tells his voters. It's about you. They are doing this to you. I am being persecuted. They're not doing this to me. They're doing this to you. And by pushing the victimhood narrative, he has managed to make this not just about himself and his problems of the day, but about a large swath of the country that is repulsed, frankly, by elites who are sitting in Washington and they feel like dictating their lives and looking down on them.
Joe, you nailed it. That's probably the first thing that you've got to put on the resume if you're applying for a job at MSNBC. At the Morning Meltdown, just tell Joe he's nailing it. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Joe saying that Trump is a failure. Listen to clip 5.
I've met a lot of rich people in my life. I've met a lot of billionaires. I've met a lot of self-made billionaires. One of us? I can understand it. Like, I could name you 10 extraordinary stories. I know you could, too, of people who were born with nothing, who worked around the clocks. A lot of people who didn't go to college. They just worked. And they are American success stories. What's so crazy on this one, this one of us thing? Donald Trump inherited the equivalent of $400 million, lost it all. I mean, he's not one of them, never was one of them, which is why this whole one of us argument is confounded. You know,
he inherited a $400 million, I think he said, and he lost it all. Really? Are you serious? This guy that had more to do with creating the New York City skyline than any other real estate mogul? They really are going with this. Trump's a failure. Trump has no cash. Trump's being exposed as a fraud this week. Trump is finished. We've heard it all before, haven't we? We have. Listen to, of course, they're going to tie in race as well. He's a racist. He's not only a failure. He's not only out of cash, no money. He also hates minorities. This is clip 6.
No, he uses that incendiary language because he has consistently trolled in racist ideology. As he said, they stole the election in Atlanta. They stole the election in Philadelphia. They stole it in Detroit. They stole it in Milwaukee. And so he's pointing to these places that have sizable Black populations and basically saying, these Black people, they stole a hardworking democracy from you, good, honest, hardworking white folk. And so that's why when you look at that insurrection and you see the Confederate flag being flown in the middle of the Capitol building, mm-hmm. it begins to tell you about what he's doing in terms of using that language. He talked about bloodbath. And again, that is that kind of triggering language for Catholics about Jews, about migrants, and that they're not really human. I mean, it's all part of a larger piece of mm-hmm. demonizing folk. Yeah.
Catholics, Jews, migrants, minorities. They're not human. They're animals, she says. This is her take on Trump. This is from my father's book, America Under Attack. Again, if you don't have this book, make sure that you request your free copy today. He says, Satan uses race as a weapon to divide people. God doesn't hold any race as superior or inferior to any other. He made all races and has a transcendent potential in store for all people. God's no respecter of persons, as it says in Romans 2. He respects faith. As we've been discussing on this show, he loves to see individuals like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk by faith. Just put their lives in God's hands. Doesn't matter if they're Jewish or whatever. Just step out in faith. Really believe. My father says here, in the post-Obama America, mainstream media and radical Democrats continually accuse Republicans and everyday Americans as being racist. In almost every case, they are lying and they know they are lying. They're lying and they know it. They know they're lying. I think the lady you heard there in the clip, she wrote a book called White Rage. And then the other guest on the show, that panel discussion, she wrote a book called the Coming Civil War, the Next Civil War. And of course, Donald Trump is to blame. It says here, this is just one example of how Barack Obama transformed America. There are many more. He's fundamentally transformed the United States of America. That's what he vowed to do in 2008. And look at what has happened. And people, as I've covered on this show in recent weeks, I mean, more and more people see it. They see the communist infiltration, like we titled the chapter, and he was right. We add to that it was prophesied. The communist infiltration of America, it was prophesied. The Trump train, though, continues to go forward. There was this piece in Reuters today about the support coming from the evangelicals. And again, this is something that we've monitored over the last several years. But this statement does jump out at us. It says the former president has started some rallies with a messianic video made by social media influencers, which opens with the line, on June 14th, 1946, God looked down on his planned paradise and said, I need a caretaker. So God gave us Trump. I guess that's the date Trump was born. But we've talked a lot about the kingdom's court in the prophecy of Amos 7. But it also talks about the king's chapel in that same prophecy. And the enthusiastic support coming from evangelicals in particular, it really is. It's astounding, but it's also prophesied right there in Amos 7. Listen to CNN's Dana Bash as she tries to wrap her mind around Donald Trump's lead in Michigan. She just can't even believe it's happening. Clip 11.
Then you look at other issues, U.S. and world affairs, economy, immigration, Israel, Gaza. Trump has an advantage. And it's actually, if you look at the Israel-Gaza question, the fact that Trump has a 20-point advantage in Michigan, I mean, the world is upside down.
The Trump advantage, the world is upside down. That's the kind of mindset that they need at CNN, MSNBC. That's why they're up in arms if Ronna McDaniel gets hired. She's like Romney. She's like John McCain. She's a good rhino Republican. Can't stand for it, though. I mean, you've really got to be far to the left to be approved by Morning Meltdown. Oh, yes. She, Dana Bash, I mean, she can't even understand it. In her world, it's entirely upside down to have Trump leading in Michigan. Trump leading in Michigan by, what was it, 8 points? They know. They lose Michigan. I mean, it's over. It's over for them. So they've got to be plotting and scheming to try to figure out a way. If the lawfare is not going to do it, we've got to get him out some way, somehow. He's an insurrectionist. This is from Rolling Stone. It says, Biden is building a superstructure to stop Trump from stealing the election. I think they're trying to stop Trump from stealing the election. Biden, I mean, Biden's the one that said in 2020, hey, we're building the biggest, you know, voter fraud organization in history. And then they were able to steal it. It says here, Trump and his MAGA allies have been working for years to pre-rig the 2024 election. Here's how Team Biden is planning to fight them. It's pre-rigged. See, I mean, this is a long article. I won't go through all the quotes here, but it's a long article, suffice it to say. And here they are. They're up in arms because Rana, she didn't come out and just denounce the fact that Trump said it was stolen right away. So she doesn't deserve a position on MSNBC or anywhere for that matter. And here they are going into such fine detail about how Trump is stealing the election. We're 7-8 months away from it. It says here, for years, Donald Trump has made it abundantly clear that if he doesn't win the 2024 presidential election, he's willing to cheat and steal. He's made that abundantly clear. Look, we'll cheat, we'll steal our way to victory. Okay. It says, since President Joe Biden's inaugural address, according to sources with intimate knowledge of the situation, Biden and his inner circle have been drawing up meticulous plans and creating a large legal network focused on wargaming a close election finish in which the former president and Republican Party launch a scorched earth, big lie fueled crusade. All the inflammatory rhetoric, the scorched earth, big lie. And you read between the lines and you see, okay, what are the two sides actually doing? You've got Joe Bama actually taking all this action. They're wanting to carry out more lawfare should Donald Trump win. It says here, long before Trump began leading in battleground state polling, and years before he was declared a 2024 candidate, the ex-president and many of his influential allies were already busy plotting ways to tilt the election in his favor. They're plotting, they're scheming, which again, what they're projecting is exactly what they're doing. What they're guilty of. You know it. It says, over the past year, Team Biden has been conducting war games, crafting complex legal strategies, and devoting extensive resources to prepare for, as one former senior Biden administration official puts it, for when all you-know-what breaks loose scenarios. The preparations include planning for a contingency in which Biden's margin of victory is so razor thin that Trump and the GOP launch a tidal wave of legal challenges and political maneuvers to rerun his 2020 election strategy, declare victory anyways, and try to will it into existence. That is their precious narrative. That is their Bible. That's their political Bible. Trump denied the results of 2020, and anybody that agrees with him on that should be thrown in prison and should be denied a job at MSNBC. You just cannot exist in their world. If you dare question what happened in 2020, you can see why. Trump's not out there scheming and plotting. He's out there saying, we've got to win in a landslide. Otherwise, they'll cheat their way to victory again. Listen to Jesse Waters on Fox News, clip 12.
I think Trump has to win big in order to win, because if it's close, I don't trust it. That's why it has to be a landslide. The FBI and the CIA are already teeing up a counterintelligence investigation. If you look at what they're saying about Donald Trump, they're already saying that because they're taking all his money and properties, he's going to have to then borrow money from someone overseas. That could trigger an FBI counterintelligence investigation. And they're also saying he's a domestic threat because they're combining the dictator on day one hoax with the bloodbath hoax to make it look like it's going to be a civil war. So the big intel is going to be crawling all over this campaign again, like they did last time. It's just whether or not the American people can see through that kind of noise.
He's going up against, as Jesse notes, the deep state, the CIA, the DOJ, the FBI, all of them, they're aligned against Donald Trump. Anything to stop Trump. And so they're putting all of these hoaxes together in one big barrel. And that's what they're that's what they're going with. The American people, as he says there, I mean, they've got to be able to see through it. A lot of them do. You can see it in the polling. This article, the Rolling Stone piece about Biden doing whatever possible to prevent Trump from cheating. It says, President Biden has been worried for a while now that Donald Trump is going to try to steal the election if it's very close on election day. If that ends up being the case, we are also expecting the Republican Party to go into overdrive to help him steal it. We are continuing to build out the infrastructure to ensure that doesn't happen again if President Biden wins and Trump and MAGA Republicans try to confuse everyone and sow chaos. That's quoting from some Democrat rep. And they've got the full support of the regime media. Leslie Stahl, she had the big segment on 60 Minutes last night talking with Jim Jordan, talking about how the social media, the government's interfering with social media, that was making sure. I mean, before 2020, social media was responsible. Before Elon Musk comes along, they were responsible. They were removing hate speech. And who are you Republicans to try to say that, hey, you should have free speech on those platforms? They hate the idea of free speech, of actually printing somebody like the New York Post in 2020, printing the truth about Hunter's laptop. They blotted that out. They blotted that out and didn't admit it was true for 18 months. It says here, sources in and around the president's legal and political operations say the Biden campaign's current wargaming is informed by questions aides asked themselves in the wake of the 2020 election. What if there's a rematch in 4 years with Donald Trump? What do we do if Joe Biden wins and Trump tries to steal the election again? Trump's the one who's right. He departs from the White House on Inauguration Day in 2021. He said that we need National Guard there on January 6th when he was hoping that Congress would at least look into all these claims of fraud. They didn't do it. They lacked the courage. There were too many Mike Gallaghers in there that just said, you know what, just give in, surrender to the radical left. In fact, give them power if we need to. And then Trump just departs peacefully. January 20th, 2021. And here's Rolling Stone, and they're not alone. Trump's the one who's the cheater. Trump's the failure. Trump has no money. Trump's a loser. Everyone he endorses loses. It says Democratic aides walked through a range of authoritarian possibilities, including one scenario in which Trump called out the National Guard either as a show of force or in an attempt to enforce his fictitious victory. What's so funny to me in all of this is Trump, yes, he's running for the office of president, but he's just been a private citizen for 3 years. and they've continued the lawfare to try to destroy him. But they speak of him. I mean, he's Hitler. He's got so much power. He'll call in the National Guard. He'll do this. He'll do that. These are the people that are abusing all of these government agencies, are actually weaponizing these agencies. It says here, Biden World's closely held list of nightmare scenarios in which Democratic legal teams would have to battle it out tooth and nail with Republican counterparts before, during, or after Election Day 2024 has grown comically long. They're all the scenarios that they're running through. Here's how he's going to cheat. Trump's going to cheat here. He's going to cheat over here. He's going to cheat. He's got so many mechanisms of cheating and stealing in place. How do we keep track of it all? You can see what they're setting things up for. They're like I covered last week. I mean, they're itching for civil war, and they want to put the blame for everything on, you guessed it, the bad orange man. It says here, Biden campaign officials and other Democrats familiar with the topic tell Rolling Stone that a key concern for which step-by-step game planning has already begun is how to robustly respond if Trump and other leading Republicans try to engineer another January 6 style power grab, the so-called insurrection. A January 6th style power grab. Yeah, that's what they were doing. Without any guns or ammunition or anything, just waving flags. Waving flags as they went up to Congress, trying to take over or overthrow the government of the United States. All these narratives have been, they've been exploding in their faces, and yet they still hold true to them. Morning Meltdown, they will not have Ronna McDaniel on their show because she didn't distance herself from Trump far enough. When we come back, we'll continue. I think we'll have enough time to continue with our study from the book of Daniel. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, and even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
We've been looking at the examples of character, godly character in the book of Daniel with respect to Daniel the prophet, but also his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've gone through Daniel chapter 3, how that those three said, hey, God will save us from this fiery furnace. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your pagan idols. God was their judge. That's the meaning of Daniel's name. God is my judge. And my father writes in his booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation. He talks about the book of Daniel being, you know, a book about probably the best book that there is about trials and how to endure through trials. and to do it in faith, to pray to God, to ask for God's divine intervention. This is Daniel 6. This chapter talks about a trial Daniel went through and how that he was cast into a lion's den. Another fiery trial. Verse 3 of Daniel 6, it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. I mean, he was going to be second in charge, basically, over the whole realm. And a lot of the king's court hated him because of this. They wanted to destroy him. Verse 4, it says, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Let's put out a decree similar to the way that we did in Daniel 3 and see if we can get the king to commit to destroying him. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Verse 8, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. It says in verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So he put the statute out there. And this, of course, would be a great test for Daniel, just like it was for his three friends in Daniel 3. Verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. So this was just what he always did. And he knew this was going to be a test of his faith, and he went right to God first and foremost. We ought to obey God rather than men, as it says over in Acts 5. And Daniel communicated that to God. Again, pretty astounding showing of faith and loyalty and commitment and conviction. And it also says a lot about Daniel's prayer life. Even when they tried to put in place a prayer ban, he went immediately, under the threat of death even, and prayed to God. Nothing would interfere with his relationship with God. That's a wonderful lesson from this in and of itself. Obviously, there's the lesson of faith. The lesson of faith of just putting his trust in God for protection. But also, look at how Daniel gave thanks to God. He went in, as his custom was, and just started to immediately give thanks and praise to God. It is possible, even in the midst of a fiery trial. Look at Acts, I think it's Acts 16, where Paul is in Philippi, and he's in prison. And he and Silas and others, they were just singing praises to God right through their sore trial, their fiery trial. Notice 1 Peter 4, this is verse 12. Again, another lesson to take away from all this is when you just consider how easy it is to be so negative and ungrateful. Herbert Armstrong talked a lot about the sin of ingratitude, how that it's so common, it's everywhere that you look, people that are just not grateful and appreciative of all that God has given. Daniel was appreciative. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Don't think it's strange when you come into a fiery trial. Instead, just give God thanks. Praise God. He did promise, after all, that this was the straight and narrow way. And I covered in a message over the weekend, I mean, he always promises a way of escape. He doesn't promise that we'll be spared of every single trial and test. But he does, if we walk by faith, he does promise the way of escape. And sometimes those fiery trials are important and need and necessary for our overall growth. This is from my father's booklet, The Epistles of Peter, A Living Hope. And again, you can get to this, a free copy of this, at our website, thetrumpet.com, or you can call the 800 number there on your screen. But he says here, God's church is going to face unusual problems, knowing that Satan has been cast down and is feverishly laboring to attack us. We can be sure of that fact. He looks for every opportunity to attack. Since we are his number one target, we must prepare ourselves. We've got, like my father says in the Daniel booklet, I mean, we've got to increase our faith and get ready for the stress, the pressure, all of it that's coming upon us, the strain of just living God's way of life and doing his work. We are under the gun, and a lot of that is by design. It says here, all of God's people must understand that we are entering extremely trying times. What we have faced to this point is minor compared to what we are about to experience. It says, but God always prepares us for such circumstances. This is where Peter comes in, or where his epistle comes in. God's preparing us. God's getting us ready. He's preparing us for these fiery trials, through which we have to let Christ lead us. We have to invite Christ to come into the furnace or into the lion's den with us and to just help us navigate our way through the trial. 1 Peter 1, just backing up to chapter 1, verse 6, it says here, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." We really do. We need to view our trials as precious, as fine gold, precious gold. Because it really does refine our character. It strengthens our faith. It helps us to overcome. It prepares us for greater tests ahead. And that's what God is trying to do. Well, we'll get back to Daniel 6, if we have time on tomorrow's program, to continue our study. I don't want to leave you hanging, but you're probably fairly familiar with that history. The story of Daniel in the lion's den. To get to our free literature, the Peter booklet I just mentioned, you can get to that at thetrumpet.com website, or you can call our operators and request hard copies of any of this literature, 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.